Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Welcome to Behind the Headlines, your daily look at some of the stories our reporters have been covering across the UK today. We go into the stories in a bit more detail than we're able to bring you in our hourly news bulletins, whether it's a piece our reporter has sent from the scene of a story or a slightly longer interview. And we try to bring you some of the quirkier stories alongside the serious stuff. I'm Kat Wright, with a bit more voice than I had in Wednesday's episode, but not much. Today, we're in parts of the UK that's on a rare red weather alert.
Emergency services are on full alert. Our government services are taking all the necessary actions to be prepared.
We also speak to a government minister about getting the hospitality industry to help spot signs of child sexual exploitation. And we're on a special training exercise with mountain rescue dogs. But first, Storm Dara's on its way and bringing with it a rare red weather warning for wind. That covers much of Wales and part of southwest England tomorrow, Saturday, the 7th of December. A yellow warning for winds already in place for most of the UK right now through until Sunday, with another for rain for Wales and southern Scotland. We've had reporters all across some of the worst affected areas, and we'll hear from three of them tonight in South Wales, Worcestershire, and first our chief reporter in the South West, Andrew Kay, reports from the Quantocks Hills in Somerset, right on the edge of the red alert area.
And here it really does feel like the storm is coming. All day I've heard people discussing the Met Office warning map to decide if they're technically in the red zone or the amber zone. It's also been impacting businesses and major tourist attractions as they decide what to do this weekend. Mark Ference runs the Fleet Air Arm Museum in South Somerset, but he has staff and volunteers that travel in from here on the North Somerset coast.
Even if our site is safe to open, we need to make sure we can get staff here safely.
Adam Dance is a South Somerset MP, and his house was damaged in Storm Bert 2 weeks ago, and he says some people across the county are still waiting to be reconnected to the internet since then. And with power lines and other cables expected to fall this weekend, he says it's important people look out for their neighbours.
And just go round and check on those vulnerable people who may not have been out or may not have seen anyone.
But the red warning also impacts parts of the North Devon coast, where bridges have been closed from midnight. And it seems the storm will likely also impact the sense of Christmas cheer on many Devon towns. Here's Councillor Stuart Hughes.
We're contacting parish and town councils to advise them to make sure that their Christmas decorations, that they're battened down.
But tonight there's also a plea to think about people. Recently I revealed that homeless people in Torbay spent the night outside during Storm Bert because once the snow thawed, some thought it was warm so they wouldn't get emergency accommodation. Kath Friedrich runs the Path Homeless charity. She's angry by Monday morning. We'll probably know how many trees came down. We won't know how many people slept outside.
Why is it that as a society we are putting the emphasis on things that get damaged and not people? It's talking about roofs coming off, trees coming down. Since when has a tree taken a priority over a human being?
From speaking to the various contacts I have, I can tell you there's been lots of multi-agency meetings today. Teams are being put on standby here to respond to any incidents.
So that's Somerset on the edge of the red alert area, while Cardiff is definitely in the red alert area, where our reporter George Simons is.
People across the country are preparing for yet another storm this year.
You can already tell the mud's forming and the water's rising in the river, and it's almost, I'd say it's pretty close to overflowing the bank.
Archie's been with me by the Black Weir River in Cardiff, which burst its banks just last month during Storm Bert. The Met Office says there could be gusts of up to 90 miles an hour in some areas, and the weather may even pose a danger to life. Wales's First Minister, Leonard Morgan, has told us it's vital everyone avoids putting their own safety at risk.
The land is already saturated, and so there is very little space for the water to go. So
people need to take this seriously. They need to be prepared.
The strongest winds are expected to ease by late tomorrow morning.
The North, our reporter Elliot Burrow, has been in flood-hit Tenbury Wells today. The Worcestershire town suffered significant flooding damage at the end of November, and it's just outside tomorrow's amber warning for rain. The local MP, Harriet Baldwin, told Elliot she's working hard to deliver a flood defence scheme there.
If you had a message for the businesses around here, just what would you say to them?
I'm trying to do everything I possibly can to change that future.
It's nearly 2 weeks on now since the town centre here was flooded, and just walking down Market Street where that wall collapsed, I can still see there's some sandbags around, and there's actually a stack of sandbags which are in place where that wall was. MP Harriet Baldwin told us today she spoke to the government's flooding minister, Emma Hardy, about the flood defence scheme they are working on in the area.
I was able to sit down with her and explain how far advanced the plans are, and that we've raised quite a lot of the funding needed, but there's still a funding gap. So she had a constructive approach.
In Prime Minister's questions the other week, Prime Minister Keir Starmer said he was committed to tackling flooding issues and working with places like Tenbury Wells to build schemes to protect the area.
Still to come, we hear from the family of a man found dead in a lift shaft in Turkey. But first, hotel staff across the country are going to be trained as part of a new programme to tackle child sexual exploitation. Operation Makeshift, a collaboration between police, the government and the hospitality sector, will see workers trained in how to spot the signs and report it. Our reporter Alice Smith spoke to Birmingham Yardley MP and the Minister for Safeguarding, Jess Phillips, about the scheme.
It is vitally important because of the data that we heard today of over 500 children in a year being sexually exploited in the hotels in our country, which we imagine is a wild underreporting, but we know of at least over 500 children. And if the hotels, if the staff in hotels, the patrons of hotels can just be vigilant, be trained to know what to do if they spot signs of exploitation, and if people could just be vigilant, we can really disrupt this. And what I would hope is that I could stand in front of you in a few years' time, once this has been rolled out nationally, and say, here are the number of times that somebody has been disrupted and charges have been laid against the perpetrators.
And what are the funding and resources that have been put aside to kind of make this happen and to really disrupt this?
Yeah, so the Home Office gives £1.9 million to the unit that does this innovative work, and the whole point of it is to find new ways of tackling a crime, which the crime of child sexual exploitation has existed for a very long time, and it is a terrible scourge on society. I think that people think that when it's not constantly in the news, that somehow it's not going on. We have got to find different ways of tackling this and making sure that people in the public and institutions like hotels are taking their part.
That's Safeguarding Minister Jess Phillips talking to our reporter. A horrendous story from Norfolk now, where a man from Dereham who was found guilty of spiking a pregnant woman with an abortion drug, causing her to miscarry, has been jailed for 12 years. Stuart Warby is the first person in the UK to be sentenced for the crime. With more, here's our senior reporter Tom Claiborne.
During the trial at Norwich Crown Court, the jury heard how the woman who was around 15 weeks pregnant at the time wanted to keep her baby. The court also heard how Warby's accomplice, Nuiv Zepedo, be sentenced at a later date, and how he made a call to a gynae centre to request the drug for him, and she was told that it was a criminal offence to give the medication to somebody else. After Warby was arrested in August 2022, officers found a Google search for the drug and whether a baby could survive an abortion.
Still to come on Behind the Headlines, the family of a man found dead in Turkey want answers.
We're trying to put all the pieces together because no one else is doing it.
And we're out with Mountain Rescue on a special training exercise. Now, if you were trying to get anywhere by train a bit earlier, you'll well know that there were all sorts of delays, cancellations and disruption. It's because of a fault with the radio system, which meant train drivers couldn't communicate with signallers. The issue was tracked down to a Network Rail hub near Stoke and fixed by lunchtime, but not before services all across the country were affected. We spoke to passengers at London Waterloo and Leeds stations.
Well, I've just seen that it's just been cancelled. I'm just going to have to wait and hope that this next train actually functions, but I'm going to be late.
I'm meant to be heading back to Southampton to continue my day of work, but instead I'm here.
Have you guys faced any delays or issues with your train?
Slightly, but it's okay. We're here.
But we are off to an awards ceremony today, so we would have been devastated if we couldn't have got here.
I was actually stopping in Leeds last night. Had to go Leeds to Manchester. That was affected. I had to actually get an Uber. It cost me over like £45 just to get to Manchester to collect some stuff, and then I'm going down to London. Luckily, the one to London hasn't been affected, but Manchester to Leeds, it's been an absolute nightmare to get here.
Next, an Essex man who found his brother dead in a hotel lift shaft on holiday is calling for it to be treated as murder. It happened exactly a week ago in Turkey. Our reporter Martha Tipper has been speaking to the family.
In the early hours of Friday morning, Tyler Kerry was left alone in the hotel lobby where he was staying, whilst his girlfriend and siblings went to get some drinks. When they came back, just his t-shirt and shoes were left there. Tyler's brother Mason and his nan Colette talked me through what happened after that.
It was crazy, man. When I first walked in and I saw him, I let Molly go in first, and she had asked these two geezers that were working in the hotel, there was entertainment people, she had asked them, have you seen a boy with no t-shirt on and no shoes on? And they just pointed to the bottom of the lift shaft, and Molly ran over and she dropped to her knees and started screaming, shouting, Tyler, please get up. I comforted Molly as much as I could. But once I had seen him, that was it.
The family have said Tyler was found partially clothed. They told me his trousers, phone and vape, which was covered in blood, was found on the hotel's first floor. On his death certificate, written in Turkish, the cause of death translates to injury.
I just wanted to ask you both just how you're doing.
Oh, I'm numb because I feel like we're doing the investigation. I feel so angry.
Since it's happened, every single night I've spent up figuring out what might have happened. So I've not even got a chance to sit here and mourn his death. Do you know what I mean?
Our brain is working overtime. Do you know what I mean? So we haven't even got a chance to sit there and be a close family and cry together, because we're trying to put all the pieces together, because no one else is doing it.
The Turkish police have said today that Tyler had been drinking and there was no sign of intervention on his body. We've heard from the Foreign Office that they've provided support to the family and were in contact with the local authorities.
Now, you may remember the scandal at a funeral director's in Hull from earlier this year. An investigation into legacy independent funeral directors started in March after reports of concern for care of the deceased. 35 bodies and ashes were removed from the premises, and two people have been arrested, including one on suspicion of prevention of a lawful and decent burial, and they both remain on bail. Well, since then, there have been a number of vigils for the affected families. Our senior reporter Rebecca Quarmby went along to the last one of the year for us last night.
I'm stood next to a Christmas tree full of paper baubles. Each one represents a loved one whose body or ashes were recovered from legacy funeral directors. I've got Darren with me, who got the tree through some funding. Darren, just what does it mean to people to have this here?
I think it just kind of puts a smile on the faces, just see something nice. No, we never had her that long, and then finding out we found her, which absolutely destroyed me.
Richard was told his wife's ashes were in Leeds and was given the wrong ones by Legacy. He's placed a bauble on the tree.
It's just to remember the people, and it's coming up to my anniversary of last month. It's been really hard.
We've had tears shed and prayers said. The vigil's been a chance for people to get some comfort at a time of year where some find it most difficult.
And finally, mountain rescue volunteers from North Yorkshire have been among the first in the country to take part in special emergency escape training. A volunteer team from Mountain Rescue England and their dogs have been learning a new skill at South Shields Marine School. Our reporter Ellie Kumar went along to the training to see what happened.
That's the splash of divers getting ready to roll over the giant demo helicopter cab, which has been winched down over the water behind me with members of the Mountain Rescue England team inside. They're usually out on dry land with dogs Kez and Storm, helping people in need out in the wilds. One of them is Andy Collu, who explains why they're involved today.
And this is one way in which we can improve the safety, because if a mishap were to occur and the helicopter ditch on water, then at least we have some idea what the protocols are in getting us out safely.
Well, from my safe and dry vantage point, I can see the team learning how to deal with a crashed helicopter on the water, and Storm even has a little go in the cab herself. Lee Stead is from Marine School South Shields and led the training.
When you're faced with the worst of scenarios, if you've practiced the procedural elements of training prior, your chances of survival are much greater.
Well, everyone, including Storm, has made it through the session safely, and though it is hoped it never happens, the volunteers are now ready to put their knowledge into practice in real-world rescues.
And you can find out more on these and other stories on the news pages of our radio station websites or across all the usual social media channels. And don't forget to come back here or wherever you get your podcasts every weekday for another roundup of some of the day's top and most interesting stories on Behind the Headlines.